The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
A vacant building in Dublin City Centre close to the International Protection Office is set to be converted into accommodation for refugees. Now, our chief reporter, Barry White, is with me now. Barry, good morning.
Hi, Pat. Good
what
morning.
What building are we talking about and how many asylum seekers might be accommodated there?
Well, Pat, for people who would know Dublin City Centre, this building is a large office block opposite the International Protection Office. The building was previously the headquarters of the Irish League of Credit Unions, and it's right beside O'Connor's Pub, just straight across the road from the International Protection Office. And for those maybe not so familiar with Dublin, Pat, we'll remember the footage of asylum seekers sleeping in dozens of tents in Dublin City Centre last year. Well, this office block is in that exact same area. Now, this building was put up for sale in 2023 for a guide price of €9.5 million, and it's understood it was bought a few months ago. And I've been speaking to the senior business reporter with the Business Post, Killian Woods, and he says up to 700 asylum seekers could be accommodated here.
This building comes in at around, I think, around 23,000 square feet, which is close to what has been proposed at the Crown Paints site in Coolock, the latter of which been earmarked for a site that could host as many as 700 people. So it's close to 700, I think, would be a fair number to say, if it was to be all used for accommodation. We don't know exactly the layout of the building yet, but the way that this is, that building owners apply for these sort of things, is they don't need to give much detail over while they're going through the application of it. So at this stage, we don't know exactly how many, but based on the size of the building and also commercial conversion into housing accommodation, is roughly 700.
And this building was put up for sale in 2023. Who bought the building? Who actually owns it now?
That gets to what we don't really know at this stage. We do know the Irish League of Credit Unions put it up for sale. That was for a guide price of £9.5 million. I understand, based on market sources, that went sale agreed last autumn. A firm has stepped in called Lower Mount Street Accommodation Services Limited, which has no connection to the Irish League of Credit Unions. They're the firm that's applied to use it as an accommodation centre, an IPAS accommodation centre. So we don't know if that sale actually completed, but what could be happening, sometimes happens, is someone close to completing the acquisition of a property would say, I'll buy it on the basis that this planning application does go through. But we don't know who owns it at this stage. That Lower Mount Street Service Accommodation Limited, they could be the tenant leasing it off another actual owner to use it for this purpose. They could be the actual new owner. The Irish League Credit Unions could still be the owner. The Irish League Credit Unions wouldn't confirm to me whether the building had been sold.
Okay, so we don't know whether it's been sold or not. It could be pending permission being granted for this conversion. Now, you've been speaking to some local business owners and people who live in the Mount Street area. What are they saying?
Well, firstly, Pat, members of the Mount Street Area Residents Network have sent an email to the Taoiseach Micheál Martin, Tánaiste Simon Harris, Minister for Justice Jim O'Callaghan, and all local TDs and councillors expressing their concerns about the plans. I've seen this email. Residents say they have been living with tents and metal barriers in their neighbourhood for over 18 months. They say they've bared the brunt of this crisis, which is of the government's own making. And they no longer want their area to bear the burden of this mismanagement. And Pat, I've been speaking to Sharon, who lives on Lower Mount Street, and she's calling on the government to step in and stop this from happening.
The last 2 years have been a little bit difficult with the way we have been living and what we walk out into every day. The fences are still here, as you can see, and there's a sense of dereliction. Rubbish gathers, it's not cleaned up. You just feel that nobody actually cares about our environment. And with the fences, health and safety has to be an issue because people find it difficult to pass one another by. So it just feels it's difficult living here at the moment.
Would you be against 700 asylum seekers moving in here beside you?
Well, we're a community of over 800 people. And we gather that the planning permission has been for accommodation for 700 people. So that would be a really big impact on our community here. So that would cause concerns. Are the facilities here? I don't think so.
Would you hope for the government to step in here and make sure this doesn't go ahead then?
Absolutely. The IPO office is here. And it doesn't have the wraparound services that it needs to be able to take care of these numbers. So we'd be proposing that the structure on the IPO is considered further.
That's a local resident called Sharon. Now, a number of businesses in the area as well, they're also against it.
Yeah, they are. And they're not just against up to 700 asylum seekers being accommodated opposite the IPO path. They also say that the last 18 months has been very damaging for them. In April last year, there were 285 people sleeping in tents on Mount Street at one point. And for weeks, there were no washing facilities or toilets for asylum seekers here in this area. And then at the beginning of May last year, Pat, after the tents were removed, metal barriers were erected in the area to stop asylum seekers pitching tents again. Those metal barriers have remained in the area since. And Pat, Ruth Hamilton owns Mamma Mia's restaurant on Grattan Street. She says what has happened in the area in the last year almost shut her business. And she says an international protection accommodation centre in the area could close her doors for good.
First of all, we're totally shocked. There's been no correspondence whatsoever, you know, from government or DCC. And, you know, we would be very concerned that the IPO office cannot handle the influx of people coming in on a daily basis. And now they want to add in another 700 people to a building that doesn't have any wraparound services attached to it. You know, our street and our neighbourhood is still destroyed and we're still trying to recover over the last 18 months. What this crisis has been, the barriers are still outside. There's no mention of them coming down. They're there over 8 months now and no communication whatsoever from DCC with regards to when they are coming down.
What's it been like for the last 18 months? Because like you say, we're standing here in your restaurant, you can see the barriers just outside. There was a stage here where there was hundreds of tents here. What's it been like for the last 18 months?
Absolutely horrific to our business. You know, at one stage, we were nearly on the verge of closing the doors after 15 years in business. You know, we got through the economic crash, we got through COVID, but that actually nearly broke us. You know, we didn't know what we were coming into every morning with tents, large gatherings on the street, you know, disturbance every evening, you know, with pro and anti. You know, it was just really, really horrific. And unfortunately, we just feel like we're coming back to that stage again. And yeah, we don't know where to go from here, really.
And do you think if asylum seeker accommodation, if it does go ahead just across the road in those office blocks from the International Protection Office, do you think that'll be damaging to your business as well?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, as I said, like the IPO office cannot suffice to people that are coming in currently every day. So I can't understand how they're going to manage another influx of 700 people.
And given what's happened over the last 18 months, which you've just highlighted there, has it had any impact on your rates? You were just showing me your rates bill.
Yeah, we got our recent rates bill there in January, and our DCC are expecting us to pay full rates for 2024 and 2025, even though I have been continuing to email DCC with our cancellations over the last 18 months, videos of how the street looks, and disturbances that we've suffered. But yeah, DCC are still expecting us to pay full rates.
How much is it?
So in total €10,000 for 2024 and 2025.
Will you pay it?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We are not in a position to pay €10,000 to DCC when they have not filled any remit for our business or any help whatsoever to our business for what we have suffered.
So that's Ruth Hamilton, who owns Mamma Mia's restaurant on Grattan Street. And that's a horrific rates bill. You know, you wonder, what are they getting for that? Because they're not getting safe streets. They're not getting well-maintained streets. They're paying for their own water. They're paying for their own power. So what is the City Council delivering to them in exchange for that money?
For business owners like Ruth Hamilton, Pat, her business was surrounded by tents for weeks last year. And she said during that period, most people thought that her business was closed, so it really damaged her business, but yet she still has to pay full rates.
So how likely is it that this planning application will actually be successful?
Well, Pat, Lower Mount Street Accommodation Services have actually applied for a planning exemption because planning permission is currently not required to convert buildings to house refugees. So we don't know if this building has definitely been bought yet, but I would say it's a case. This is on the market for $9.5 million in 2023. I would say this company have went to them and says, look, we're going to apply for a planning exemption. It's likely to be successful. If that's successful, we're guaranteed rent from the government to provide accommodation for asylum seekers. And Pat, this is big business. The government are desperate to find accommodation for asylum seekers because over 18,500 people applied for international protection here last year. So far this year, up until February 23rd, 1,864 people have applied for international protection. So the government struggled all throughout last year to find accommodation, and they're going to continue to struggle this year. And then people are said it. People are not, these people behind these companies are not doing anything illegal, but they're seeing the gap here, and they're setting up companies and trying to buy buildings. And Pat, the estimation,
how much
now,
are they paid overnight?
It's estimated that it's €65 per head per night. So if this building on Mount Street, 700 people, they could make 16 and a half million, over 16 and a half million in a year.
Now, they have expenses, obviously, light, yeah, etc., water rates, all the rest of it. But still, they would probably clear the cost of the purchase of the building in
easily,
1 year.
Easily, yeah. And we're seeing this with a lot of companies, a lot of small companies making millions. We've seen it last year. It looks like it's going to be the same this year. But again, they're not doing anything illegal. They're seeing, I suppose, an opportunity here because the government's so desperate. But I suppose we've been highlighting this in the show for years regarding international protection, Pat, and it's something that has continued.
Mm, some of the texts coming in. It's a disgrace. This is prime real estate. I'd move there myself. Can't understand why the government want asylum seekers living in the city centre, in Gardiner Street, Talbot Street, all the same. The ruination of our city. Look what's happening in New York City. Well, you find it in many of the European cities as well. There are kind of mini tent villages in various places. I find it funny that the residents have urged the government to step in on this. Who do they think is bringing these refugees in and putting them here? Nobody has addressed the elephant in the room. We keep hearing everyone is being vetted, yet does anybody actually understand the process or the lack of it? Pat, that's absolutely shocking. We are not trying to make the city safer, are we not? I would love to move into Mount Street, but way out of most people's, Irish people's price range. The city will never recover. I wonder when Dublin will stop being a dumping ground for asylum seekers. The city is being overrun with problems because of no proper management and facilities provided properly by the government. I feel sorry for the businesses and the residents of Dublin City. Tourism suffers also with the historic city being a dumping ground. That's from Simon in Kildare. And, I mean, that is an issue, you know, encouraging people to take a stroll along the Grand Canal and...
Yeah, and I think, look, Pat, the issue here with international protection, something we highlighted on the show for the last couple of years, when someone goes to the International Protection Office and they apply for asylum, it could be, I think the average now is 52 weeks before the first interview. We've heard the new minister, Jim O'Callaghan, say that 80% of people who applied for asylum last year had their first, or had their application rejected. But yet it takes 52 weeks. If you're rejected, you can then appeal. It could be another 52 weeks then. That's where the backlog is.
And I presume we're giving people
why they're struggling to find
free legal aid to appeal.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff. Okay, there's loads of stuff coming in on this. When is the madness going to end? How long are we going to go on basically commandeering buildings all over the country and just filling them up with hundreds and hundreds of people in areas which are totally unsuitable? The madness has to stop. That's from Alan in Dublin. Now, the government have been warned about this for years, that they have to speed up the process and they have to be more rigorous when people come in. They either, you know, turn them around quickly if they're inappropriate, or process them very quickly and either give them a yay or nay, or even give them a work visa if that's appropriate. But it's been very, very sluggish.
Yeah, and Pat, look, I think the government or the Department of Justice have tried to change it, but it's not an overnight fix, speeding up the application process. And I think they waited so long despite warnings, and you know, now they're trying to do it, but there's so many people have applied for asylum here in the last 3 years. Like I say, over 18,500 last year, over 13,000 in 2023, and over 1,800 in the first 7-8 weeks of this year. We're looking at over 12,000 again this year. So, you know, it's, there's so many people coming here. They're desperate to find accommodation. I don't know where they're going to keep finding accommodation.
Mm. Well, the government has got to either declare a crisis and say, we are overwhelmed at the moment. Please, you know, hold on. We're not taking any more for 3 months or whatever it might take to get on top of the problem.
And I think if you look across Europe, Pat, we don't seem to have learned from other countries. Like, we see countries like Denmark, the Social Democrats there have got strict on immigration because I suppose maybe they were a few years ahead of us. Maybe what is happening here already happened in Denmark. But yeah, I think it is at a crisis situation now.
Well, the world is also in a state of chassis, as Sean O'Casey would have it. So there are people on the move for very, very good reasons who desperately need asylum.
But at
asylum.
The same time then, Pat, there's people coming here claiming asylum who shouldn't be. It's the people, the genuine asylum seekers who are losing out, really.
All right, Barry White, our chief reporter, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.